HWIRT presents
Summer Rewind. And now we remus.
Hey, Peter, it's Summer Rewind.
I know, we're just putting the old Wayback Machine on. I like it. It feels good.
Well, this is a special episode for me. We interview my cousin, Rebecca Lipscomb. Let me tell you, has running changed your life, Peter?
It really has. That's true.
In so many ways.
Yeah, like right now I'm kind of injured, so I'm really resting.
Well, that's a negative.
But it's a change.
That really wasn't what I was getting at.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
Well, I love diving into this interview with Rebecca because she talked about her switch from being a party girl to really being a very healthy and physically fit person, but also using running as a way of overcoming her struggle with fibromyalgia, a chronic pain disease, which she's been able to keep at bay through a lot of work and an awful lot of miles.
Oh, it's just incredible.
She has an incredible Instagram page where she's always listing her miles. Yeah. That always blows me away.
It's more than yours and mine combined times two.
I think that's actually the right formula.
I think that's about right.
It's no joke.
Yes.
And also she's a running coach and trainer. So she's just taken this to being really a huge part of her life. And one of her motivations, unfortunately, was the early premature death of her dad, my uncle.
That's right.
In his early 50s. And that is actually a motivation for both of us since we share a lot of genetic chemistry.
Yeah,
you know, we're both trying to be as healthy, both lifestyle and physically fit as we can, because those realities hit you pretty hard as you keep on aging, so you keep on running.
I'm with that.
All right.
So, Brian, I'm sitting having coffee with the social media guru.
Yeah.
Anna Brooks the other day, and she asked a very interesting question, which I will pose to you now, which is, do you feel that since we've had such a mild winter,
yeah,
with relatively little snowfall and
correct,
relatively little deep, deep cold and wind?
That is a good analysis of our weather for the winter.
Do you feel that this crop of marathon runners for Boston...
Wimps?
Not wimps. But that...
Have it easy?
Do you have nothing but disdain for them?
Let me tell you this. It's so mild this winter.
How mild is it?
That they're probably getting around to thinking about beginning their marathon training now.
That's not really true, but okay.
Because it's so easy.
We know a few did 20 miles this winter.
I have a feeling that running the Boston Marathon for these folks, having trained in the Northeast, will be like getting on the moving sidewalk in any... airport in a major city and just standing there watching the crowd go by. That's what it's going to be like.
It's a jetpack.
I don't think that at all, Peter.
I do a little bit.
We had an exceptionally brutal winter last year,
awful,
and we ran through it, whoop-de-doo, and the marathon's just as hard for everybody else. Get over it.
I'm just saying that I think I'm still unpacking the whole experience.
I'm just saying I haven't even unpacked my marathon,
literally the bag,
backpack, because the bag, yeah, I'm still tired from running.
I'm afraid,
it.
Yeah, I just have it in the corner. The cinch sack is over there in the corner.
It's in a closet, and I'm trying to forget the entire experience, actually.
Well, I'm trying to live and let live and say, hey, everyone's training experience is unique anyway, so the experience you had and the one that I had, even though we were having them tangentially, they weren't the same,
Peter,
mostly because you're fit.
Peter, you and I have only run one marathon each.
But it's two together.
Let's sort of put that in perspective.
I can't.
Because today on the show, we have a guest who's run like 10 marathons.
I don't, ouch.
Yeah. And has ran something well over 2,000 miles last year.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
So we're not really, yeah.
So let's just forget about the weather.
Okay.
How was your run today, Peter?
My influenza infused run.
How is your illness today?
Don't make me laugh. it's okay. I haven't run in over a week, which is the longest I've gone. Oof. In almost 2 years of running. And I'm tired. But everything's fine.
Are you on the mend?
I'm definitely mending.
We're actually in the same room today,
same
so
room,
that must be good.
Which means you'll be dead in a week.
I might be.
Because I'm patient zero. No, I might try spin class today. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm... I'm worried about the lung capacity, to be quite honest.
I hear you. I know what that's like.
Yes, but let's. I'd like to meet this person.
So our guest today is Rebecca Lipscomb, who is a runner and a coach, a running coach.
Yeah.
And one of my personal heroes, someone who encouraged me as I was getting ready to run a marathon for the first time.
All right.
She also happens to be my cousin, and she's just a great person and a big runner, and I'm really happy to have done this interview. Should we dive into it?
Let's call her up.
All right.
Becca, how old were you when you first became interested in running very seriously?
In college, I was, you know, your typical, like, binge drinker, pack-a-day cigarette smoker.
Right.
You know, living the life.
Yeah, yeah. But you'd been a skier growing up in Vermont.
Yeah, yeah. I skied and, you know, played soccer, and I rode on the crew team at GW.
Okay.
And so, like, we had cardio requirements for rowing, and I always ran. Nothing spectacular. It was, you know, a jog around DC.
Right. Ran because you had to. And we always say that when you're that age, you almost have to put up impediments because you're almost unstoppable.
Right. Like, there's no consequences for any of your actions. So
right.
you can be stupid and young and bounce back. But now, like, I can't imagine living that lifestyle and trying to, you know, be a parent and work and all the other things that I do.
Let's go into that. What was that change like going, you said at 21, so you had graduated from college.
Almost. I think really the change was for me seeing my dad and your uncle, obviously, his decline in health, and realizing at that point, like, life isn't forever. Things can happen in a heartbeat and literally overnight.
Right.
And recognizing that we aren't invincible and that we have to take care of ourselves. And then, you know, when he died, it was like I didn't really realize that lesson right away and continued to, you know, live a party lifestyle. And then I got that year, my senior year of college, I got a flyer in the mail from the American Stroke Association. And, you know, obviously, like, I'd been put on some national registry as a, you know, survivor of a father who'd had a stroke.
Right.
And it was very similar to the team and training approach where you raise money and you train with a group. And so I did that my senior year of college and raised about $6,000 and ran my first marathon in Kona, Hawaii, about a week to the day after the year anniversary of my dad's passing.
Wow.
Right.
So
that's pretty powerful.
I took a little hiatus from it, thinking like, I'm a one and done sort of person. I did this in memory of my dad.
Right.
You know, I'm never going to do it again. And then like 6 months went by and I felt gross, honestly.
Right, right. Yeah.
I felt like my quality of life was lacking and I was really missing something.
Right.
And running was that something.
Because even at the young age of 21, and you were, you know, even though you were living, you know, a party lifestyle, as you put it, you were athletic at the same time. But even at that age, you could feel the difference when you were in full-on marathon training. Peter and I talk about this too, which is there's something that happens when, you know, for us, it's you're up over 35 or 40 miles a week. For you, that threshold's probably much higher, but you really are a machine. You're not even making choices about what to put in your body because your body's telling you what to eat pretty much. And you find a distaste for foods that you used to like.
Right.
And you just feel every calorie going in and out in a good way.
Well, you know? And not even just every calorie, but it's like every action. So,
right, right.
You know, if I don't get enough sleep, if I don't drink enough water, if I don't, you know, if I stay out too late, you know, you feel it. And the payback is just... it's horrible. It's like this point, I'd much rather have a really good run than take it all for granted and throw it away by some silly mistake.
Right. The runs are, they're their own addiction in a way, in a really good way.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why a lot of people get into some level of sport is it feeds some addiction, whether it's like you're replacing it with, you know, a sugar addiction or you're replacing it with your fast food or soda addiction, something. Or you just have like an addictive personality in general that you, you know, you need to, this fuels some part of you.
Gambling.
That's right. You know,
house flipping, yeah. You know,
yeah. Crystal meth,
whatever your addictions may be, sure. Peter. Whatever your personal demons may be, Peter.
I'm sorry, I was reading my shopping list.
Well, you know, it is interesting because I used to joke about this when I was running and moving beyond just, you know, going out for the occasional jog, really actually putting some miles in. And I would joke, and I'm not sure if it was a joke. It was pretty serious. You know, I would say I run to eat, or I run so I can, you know, drink those couple of beers at the end of the day. You're talking about something different, which is really replacing some of those, you know, bad habits with running.
Right.
So is that something you did consciously, or is it something? Is it still something, an ongoing sort of metamorphosis from over the last 10 or 15 years?
I think it's a combination, really. I mean, some runs I find to be very therapeutic. You know, there's you're fighting whatever internal turmoil you're dealing with, whether it's, you know, you're annoyed with how your kid is, or, mm-hmm. you know, you've gotten into a fight with somebody, or you're, you know, your job life sucks and running is your release.
Right. Or even the moving meditation, we call it sometimes.
Right, exactly. So it has a therapeutic quality to it, which is one aspect. And then there's this other aspect to running where, you know, I feel like some days if I don't run, then I would be that person at home drinking a bottle of wine by myself.
Right, right. running away from the wine.
Right. So, you know, and then you think, well, what's better here? Drinking the bottle, having that one glass of wine because
right.
it tastes good and, you know, mm-hmm. you've just completed a long, busy day, but you don't want to drink the whole bottle because you have, you know, some crazy tempo run tomorrow and you want to nail
right.
it.
Right.
So making those conscious decisions to figure out what's the best thing I can do for myself and those around me. So running has become much bigger to me than just the physical components mm-hmm. of it.
Wow. I wish I had done that when I was in my mid-30s.
So after you did the first one back in Hawaii, how long until you did your next big marathon?
That was June of 2003. And then I ran Chicago, October 2004.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you took almost a year and a half to,
yeah.
in between.
And were
yeah.
those, did you also, have you always done fundraiser runs or
no.
some you've just pay to play?
I think Kona was the only one that I did for a fundraiser.
Well, I'm interested in hearing what you did last year, which was running 2,015 miles. Is that right?
I actually just looked it up because I couldn't remember.
Okay.
I hit 2,015 in November.
Nice.
Wow.
And I finished the year with 2,261 miles.
Which is, if my calculation is right, around 40 miles a week.
For 2 years, I really struggled with my fibromyalgia and was in mm-hmm. a significant amount of pain every day. And I went through like a lot of, you know, a lot of testing, a lot of trying different medicines to see what would work and whatnot. And by January, the beginning of that new year, I said to myself, all right, we're on a better track here. Make running consistent. And my mm-hmm. doctor had said to me, you know, do whatever makes your body feel better. And running has always made my body feel better.
That's an awesome prescription.
It is. And she basically said, you know, no medicine is going to do for you what running does.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. I mean, running is, that's your drug of choice. It reduces your inflammation. It makes your joints feel better. Who mm-hmm. knows why, but it does. So from a disease prevention standpoint and from that chronic pain standpoint,
yep.
just do it, just run. And so I said to myself, you know, no excuses. Like even the days when you wake up in pain or go to bed in pain,
mm-hmm.
you know that running makes you feel better. So sure, those first 5 minutes might suck,
mm-hmm.
but the next minutes will make you feel so much better that there's no reason to say I'm not going to run today. And I just picked 2015 as that goal because it was the year.
Sure.
And I knew I was capable of running at least 40 miles a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent from like January until June just really getting in a lot of base miles that I had sort of missed in the year and a half prior because I wasn't feeling well.
Right.
And then I got into Chicago and I was like, I'm going to train my butt off for this. I quit a job that was really stressful, started two new jobs, and I was just in a good place. And you mm-hmm. know how when you're in a better place mentally, you are always in a better place physically.
Yeah. Right.
So I was able to hammer out a lot of really high mileage weeks and felt that everything was starting to fall back into place. So, you know, my marathon in Chicago didn't go as well as I had hoped, mm-hmm. but all things considered, you know, I had put my fibromyalgia basically into remission.
Wow.
That's terrific.
And had reduced my medicine intake mm-hmm. and, you know, was just feeling so much better. So, you know, that was a huge hurdle for me, being able to get this chronic pain disorder under control through running was huge. So, you know, that I didn't hit my time goal, but I hit a major life goal. And that's what was important to me at the time.
That's amazing. And it's so, I think, counterintuitive for a lot of people.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They think, well, I'm in pain, so I can't exercise. And it's really the opposite.
Right. And was that was just trial and error, or going back and just sort of looking back at what the years had been before that and when you were feeling good? Or was it sort of more even just day to day saying, hey, when I ran 3 days in a row, I was feeling much better than, you know, when I was home and not running for a week or something like that?
I don't know that there's ever been a period of time, to be honest, where I've taken a week off of running.
Okay.
So I wouldn't know. Since the age of 21, I think the only time I took a week off was when I tore my hamstring like 4 years ago.
Ooh,
and
holy.
I went on a skiing trip in Utah. Yeah. So I sort of like got my endorphin fix skiing instead of running. But I haven't been laid up, knock on wood, from any sort of injury, running or otherwise, for that long. So I wouldn't necessarily know what it feels like to take a week off voluntarily.
What's a big rest for you then? 2 days in a row? Three at the most?
Now I hardly rest at all. Yesterday I took a complete rest day and did nothing, no form of exercise. But even like my recovery days are still, you know, yoga or mm-hmm. getting on the spin bike for a little while, Pilates, something like that. Something, you know, 30 minutes at most,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Nothing crazy, but I do run 6 days a week.
Wow. And what are you averaging now?
Between 55 and 60 every week.
That's great. And are you just doing straight, I follow your Facebook page, so I'm always looking. The other day you had, you know, you ran through three states.
Now,
it was Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. But
right, that's not too difficult.
But still, it was, I don't remember what it was, maybe a 12 or a 15.
Yeah.
And are you just doing, you know, sort of straight up at your pace runs? Are you mixing them in with hills or tempo runs or anything like that? Or you're just out enjoying yourself going for a run?
No, I do work with a coach mm-hmm. and I have a half in a few weeks and another full at the beginning of May. Everything is very planned. Tempo runs, long runs with fast finishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly hilly in my neighborhood, so I get the hills in that way. It's everything right now.
Okay, so you have turned this into really an enormous part of your life, not only sort of recovering from chronic illness, but putting in the races and everything else and working with a coach. And you do some coaching as well, is that right?
I do, yeah. I coach locally. I've coached for several running stores in the area. Mm-hmm. And I work at a sports rehab and injury prevention facility here that does everything from physical therapy to sports and conditioning for high level athletes and everybody in between. So, and I'm their sole running coach, but I also do the strength and conditioning stuff as well. Yeah, I mean, I've coached a number of people in our area for about 6 years.
What would be your biggest advice without having evaluated us at all?
I think that runners in general tend to have a very type A stubborn personality
mm-hmm.
and it serves them well from a, you know, that competitive standpoint. I want to better my time. I want to mm-hmm. beat this person. But then we tend to drive our bodies into the ground by doing too much or mm-hmm. running too hard. And I say this to everyone I work with, take the easy days and your long runs easy, like really, truly make them easy, mm-hmm. because you're never going to recover and be prepared for whatever your hard days are unless mm-hmm. you've recovered from everything else that you've done. People have a tendency to go hard all the time. And that's A, not a proper way of training, but B, it's the perfect recipe for injury. And I'd rather not see runners injured. I would rather be more conservative with whatever I prescribe them and have them get to the race healthy and really, truly take those easy days and those long, easy runs easy. Most people have a tendency to run too fast all the time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Peter and I are fans of a running coach and really a triathlon coach named Tom Holland. And he has a book called The Marathon Method. And I think it's in that book that he describes most people as running in like the gray zone, mm-hmm. which is, you know, if you're a 9 minute miler, you run your long runs like even at 9.5 minutes instead of at
right.
like 10.5 or 11 minutes. Or if
right.
you're an 8 minute miler, you should be really running your long runs at like 9.5, 10 minutes.
Oh, exactly.
So much slower. Mm-hmm. And it really is almost a recovery run. You're doing something different in a long run than you are in a tempo run or a hill workout or something
right.
like that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're working different systems in the body. And I just recently went through the U.S. track and field coaching certification class, and they gave this really interesting statistic that mm-hmm. if you run any of your quality runs harder than you're supposed to.
Yeah.
So say your tempo pace is supposed to be an 8 minute mile. If you run your tempo miles at like a 7.5, 7:45, then your body's only going to adapt to 60 to 70% of that training adaptation that's supposed to occur.
Okay.
So rather than beat your body up by running, even though it might feel good at the time, there's no point in running faster because your body's not going to respond to it. You're not going to make the adaptations that you expected to by running harder.
And is that something you do as a coach, is do that evaluation of someone's level of fitness and then work
yes.
on a plan from there?
Always, always.
Wow.
I do. I always have my runners do some, if they don't have a recent race
mm-hmm.
Where they raced all out for the duration, then I always have them do a 1 to 2 mile time trial and take that data and convert it into appropriate training pieces.
Wow, Peter.
We're going to have to send her our stats.
It sounds like we might need a coach. This can be very helpful.
What's your, what's your goal for your half that's coming up?
My goal for the half is a sub 138. The last time I ran this half, I ran a 138.05. So
wow.
I'd like to beat that time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you have a full coming up?
And I have a full, the New Jersey Marathon, May 1st.
Oh, wow.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So April's going to be a busy month for you.
Right.
Cool. Do you have any other races throughout the year sprinkled in there?
I have the Philly Rock and Roll Half in September.
Okay.
And I threw my name in the hat for New York again, so we'll see what happens there.
I did too, but I don't think anything's going to happen there.
No, probably not. I did run it. It was my first marathon after having my daughter, mm-hmm. so.
How is it as a course?
Hilly.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's tricky because it's, you know, of all the bridges, really.
Yeah.
But one of those lifetime experiences.
Yes.
As is Boston. As I suppose is Chicago. Is that as fantastic a marathon as the others?
Yeah, Chicago is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just you run through so much of the city and the crowds are insane. And I mean, Chicago is just a great place anyway.
Right. Chicago's a wonderful place.
And it's flat.
And it is very flat, yes.
Well, if you were an insane person like I am, you might have signed up for a free marathon thinking, well, a free marathon, that's so wonderful.
Why wouldn't I do that?
That's in northernmost Maine in the beginning of December, which is looking like the most ridiculous thing I've ever signed up for.
I can hear her voice, how much she's planning on going to see you do that.
You just signed up because it was free? That sounds cold.
It is going to be cold.
He's going to tap some maple syrup trees while he's up there.
I might do some lobster fishing. No, the reason I did it, one, it happened to come up that it was free. But the other reason is it's this paper town, mill town in northern Maine that I wouldn't have heard of, except I know two guys that grew up there and now live in Boston. I've known them for many, many years. And the town, the last paper mill has closed, and the population of the town has shrunk enormously. And it used to be a pretty thriving area, and they're just really, really hurting. And there are some other sort of tourism draws to the place, but that the year-round residents are really suffering. So a guy who organizes the Mount Desert Island 5K, Mount Desert Island is where the Acadia National Park is. He's been organizing that. Did I say 5K? It's a marathon. That marathon for a long time. Last year just decided, you know what, let's go up to Millinocket. Let's get as many people as want to go. I'll put something out on Facebook. We'll do a half marathon, and if anybody wants to run it twice, we'll run it twice. And I forget the numbers, but a couple of dozen people showed up and got hotel rooms and went to the restaurants that are there, and you know, we're really well received. And he said, okay, I'll just do it again. Well, somehow, you know, it just hit social media in the right way. Mm-hmm. And in like a week, he had 1,000 people, runners, signed up.
Very cool.
And, you know, that's now probably the maximum number of rooms that are out there. And the whole community has come out sort of in support of this. And there's some fundraisers for the library and things like that. So it really is a pretty cool enterprise. Aside from being a free marathon, I think it's going to be a really fun and supportive experience. I mean, there's even, you know, watching the Facebook posts are hilarious because there's a woman who says, you know, I'll be in a red Jeep following the last runners to make sure that everybody makes it through the course because they want to have some support. She goes, but I might have to pee at some point during the race. So would somebody else want to back me up and be with me? And so it's total grassroots community organizing kind of thing.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's fun. We've talked to people on this show that run very early in the morning or choose the weekends to do most of their running or run at night. You know, sort of how do you fit it all in?
I think it's just a conscious decision like anything else in your day-to-day life. Kid has ballet class or... Mm-hmm. You have a meeting to go to. Running is the same thing. It's just part of your schedule. So, you know, I just, if I have to get my run in at the crack of dawn because I need to leave for work or my husband needs to leave for work or I need to take Alex to school or whatever, mm-hmm. that's so be it. If I have the luxury to run at 9 o'clock after I drop her off and I don't have anywhere to be, then that's great too. I make it a part of my day. Like mm-hmm. I make brushing my teeth a part of my day. It's that important to me, mentally, physically, and otherwise.
Well, I'm so glad to hear somebody who would rather run at 9 o'clock than the crack of dawn, because I'm right there with you.
I'll do it. I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning if I have to. But mm-hmm. When I was teaching, that was my time of day. But right. You know, I prefer not to lock eyes with the neighborhood fox if I can help it.
Wait, what, am I supposed to brush my teeth every day?
You are.
I got to learn to make time for that.
That's right. Mm. You can do it while you're running to save time.
So no,
I will.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have a question, if I may. Do you have it doesn't have to be recent memory, but in your history of running, what's the single worst run you had?
The single worst run I had.
Yeah. Because I often say that I never regret. The only regrets I have are the runs I don't run. That even the bad ones are worth it to me. But
I don't think I mean, even bad ones, I don't remember because there's so many good ones mm-hmm. that overshadow anything.
Yeah, and your volume bad. Is so high, yeah. Do you have a bad, do you have a bad race?
I mean, I've puked a few times during racing.
Who hasn't?
That's never fun.
Well, because the chili dogs get stuck.
That's right.
Oh, right.
Oh, that wasn't the Gatorade cart, that was the hot dog cart.
That was the hot dog.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that either.
No, I couldn't do that either.
Yeah, races haven't been spectacular, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's always a takeaway from even the bad ones. So yeah. I try not to dwell on it too much you know, take it for what it's worth and move on.
Unlike me, who ran a horrible half marathon and beat myself up for the next, like, 4 months, I'm just getting over it now. And I am.
That is not You're the fine. Way to approach it, Brian.
No, it's not the way to approach it. But I also was running through an injury, and it's just been – it's been a rough winter
yeah.
to have to make the decision to not run for – I had to not run twice for 2 or 3 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. But what I did the second time, my second sort of respite, was continued to do cardiovascular workouts on the machines.
So right.
did a lot more biking, did a lot more elliptical, and that has gotten – you know, when I say this out loud, it's sort of like, duh, of course that's what you should do. But, you know, sometimes you think it's only the miles on the road that count, or the only the miles that I run either on the road or the treadmill that count. None of the other stuff, that's all just backup.
Right.
And especially getting through injury, no, the others are more important, and running can be more harmful. Sometimes you need to pause so you can live to run another day, you know?
Absolutely. And I tell this to all of my runners that I coach, that training for anything is like building a house. Mm-hmm. And the miles we put in and that running training that we do are like the bricks, and you're laying the foundation. But when you go back and look at it, there's still holes that need to be filled in. And you're never going to reach the peak of your house unless you put everything in between it to support that foundation. So all that other stuff, foam rolling and proper nutrition and mm-hmm. hydration, and that completes your house.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, you're going to have a pile of beautiful bricks, but nothing to hold it together.
I have great bricks. I got to be honest with you. I really do. They are in a pile, but they're arranged neatly.
And it's especially true as we get older too.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but you have to put more effort into things that you didn't necessarily have to put effort into in your 20s. So all those other things, visiting a physical therapist when mm-hmm. you need to, taking a day off of running and biking instead, or, you know, taking an extra 10 minutes to stretch at night before you go to bed. Getting a massage every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Those things are really critical to our long-term health. And I try and think of running as a long-term goal, not something like, oh, I want to get this time in my next race. Yeah, that's important, but running makes me happy, so I want to be able to do it for as long as my body allows me to. But if I beat it up and don't take care of it, then I'm not going to be able to run forever.
Wow, that's great. I think we're going to quote you on that one.
Oh, thanks.
That was awesome.
What do you listen to when you're doing your training runs, or do you not? And then do you do the same thing when you race?
Other than this podcast.
Well, see, being married to a criminal defense attorney, I know that there's a lot of psychos in our area. Mm-hmm. So I typically don't run with music outside. And if I do, I'll just put one earbud in.
Yeah.
And keep the volume fairly low. I mean, right now I'm on a Beastie Boys kick. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
But I don't really listen to a lot of music when I'm running.
Do you do a mix of road running, trail running, and treadmill? Or what are your staples look like?
I try and stay away from the treadmill because it changes our gait a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just enough that you can overuse some muscles and underuse the other ones. And there's a lot of arguments for treadmill running and mm-hmm. against treadmill running. But it's also a tool. So
yep.
Especially during the winter, I mean, it's been cold, really cold here, and got a lot of snow about a month ago. So, you know, I had to run on the treadmill. I mm-hmm. didn't really have a choice. I do most of my running on the road. We have a fairly flat trail that's, you know, like crushed gravel
mm-hmm.
Nearby. And I run on that maybe once a week just for a softer surface. During the spring, summer, fall, I really don't run on the treadmill at all.
Well, where you are in DC, your weather is so great, except for the worst days of July and August probably, but you right. can still get out in the morning.
Yeah. I usually try and get out before the sun is too hot.
Is there anything that you want to get in that we haven't talked about?
I am available for virtual coaching and mm-hmm. I love taking on runners of all shapes, sizes, abilities and whatnot. And if people are looking for a coach, I really think that coaches can help see some things and read in between the lines. I'm not a big believer in cookie cutter plans.
Mm-hmm.
Each person is an individual and their training needs are going to differ from the next person. So utilizing somebody who can see it from a non-biased standpoint is a great thing.
Awesome. So how does somebody reach out to you to do virtual coaching?
You can email me at rebecca.lipscomb@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on social media. I'm Beckstar Runs, so BeckStarUns. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I can be contacted that way. I don't have a website. I didn't feel like it was really necessary. If people are in the local area in DC, Maryland, or Virginia, I work at an amazing facility called Launch Sports Performance,
mm-hmm.
and I do running coaching for them.
Awesome. Well, we will encourage everybody to do that. We'll put all of that information on the show notes, And this has been fantastic.
Awesome.
I just have one more question.
Yes.
What size should your How Is Your Run Today shirt be?
Oh, a small. That would be fabulous.
Awesome. We'll put it in the mail today.
I have one more question.
Thank you.
Go, Peter.
Go ahead.
Becca, how was your run today?
My run today was great. I ran with my running wife, as I call her.
Peter, no comments.
I got nothing.
I mean, we do a lot of training runs together, and I hadn't seen her in about a week. So we ran 8 miles on a very muddy trail, and it was a beautiful, sunny 45-degree day.
Oh, I love that temperature. Peter, don't ever call me your running wife.
I'm yours, I think. That's the way. That's clear.
This was fantastic. Thank you so much, Becca.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Can't wait to meet you in Millinocket, Maine.
Oh, yes.
In December.
I can't wait to be there.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Thank
you.
You
too. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, we'll put the information on the website, Brian, but how do people reach out to Rebecca if they want to talk to her?
Look her up on social media.
Yeah.
It's Beckstar Runs. BeckStarUns.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Do you think I should bring a keg of hot chocolate to Millinocket?
I think that's where you should start and go from
there. Where will I stand? Where will I be during all that? Because I'm pretty sure it's my kitchen.
Pretty truthfully,
home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you going to get in your car and drive 6 hours north of Boston?
You're my friend.
And it is a 13.1 mile loop that we're going to do twice.
So I would get to see you twice.
Or four times if you cut the... cut it off down there, you could probably catch us four times.
Wow.
I'm not even sure that's true.
Yeah, but that's not too bad because like every, 45 to 58 minutes I could see you.
Well, if I'm running fast, otherwise it's every few hours.
You when could the sled see, dogs bring you back in.
Don't even talk.
It's not even funny. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's going to be very cold.
It's going to be wolverines and wolves fighting it out while we're running.
Actually Wolverine, the superhero. He'll be there in the corner.
He was there when we ran that Halloween costume race. A guy was running.
He looked great. He looked good.
Great costume. He was running in boots, jeans, a white, tidy, whitey t-shirt, the full Wolverine beard thing, and a cigar.
And the cigar. He had the big cigar. You got to have
the big blades coming out of his hands.
You're doing Logan. You got to do the full cigar.
It was crazy.
I'm pretty sure that guy won't be in Millinocket. I'm pretty sure. Hey, that was a great interview. She's terrific.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I learned a lot. And what I learned is A,
yeah.
I'm old. And
that's not true.
No, it is true. And B,
I don't get it.
I don't run. I talk about
you
running.
Do.
Nope, not really. No.
Maybe you need a coach, Peter.
Well, that's probably true.
The one thing that I was getting through, one is that everybody comes to running for their own reasons and sticks with it for their own reasons.
That's exactly right.
And that maybe you need some coaching.
I might look for that. I might need to reset the motivation button.
Right.
Hey.
This has been episode 18 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould.
Yay.
With special guest, Rebecca Lipscomb.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Listeners, please contribute to the show with your questions and comments. For email and social media, go to our website, howisyourruntoday.com. Sign up to get this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. And please give us a rating and a comment while you're there. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked. And if you love HWYRT...
Who doesn't?
Please share our posts on Facebook and retweet us. It's free and doesn't hurt as much as foam rolling.
Oh, that really hurts.
Ouch.
In the deep thigh.
Hey, Peter.
Hello, Brian.
Have a good run today.
I'm probably just going to have some juice, but okay. Yes.
Feel better.
Running makes me happy, so I want to be able to do it for as long as my body allows me to. But if I beat it up and don't take care of it, then I'm not going to be able to run forever.